The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at tntradio.live. Interviews, news, and views. You're listening to State of the Nation with Timothy Shea and Brian McClain on today's News Talk, TNT.
Yes, welcome to State of the Nation. We are live on TNT. Today's News Talk, I'm Brian McClain, broadcasting live out of Central Texas. I'm here with Timothy Shea, broadcasting live out of New York. Timothy, it's great to see you today.
Great to see you, Brian, as it always is.
Absolutely, my friend. Well, let's go right to NYC. I had to bring this one. Hashtag Daniel Penny is trending on X after a New York City councilwoman who happened to smear Daniel Penny is now shaming men for not calling out violence against women. So Amanda Farias reposted from at Women's Caucus, quote, "We are deeply disturbed and concerned about widespread reports of attacks against women in the NYC subways that have been confirmed by the NYPD. We're calling on the NYPD for an immediate and comprehensive investigation into these incidents with transparent updates to the public," end quote. Wouldn't that be nice? But here's the kicker, Timothy. Amanda Farias added this as her quote on that X post. "Where are the men calling this out? Can you believe this?" So she went from smearing Daniel Penny for doing what he did, saving people on that subway tube.
Yeah.
And now she wants to smear the rest of NYC's men who may still have a spine for not doing what? Exactly what Mr. Penny did, and now his freedom is gone? So she's getting routed on X.com right now.
Well, she needs to be dragged, and the ratio is just delicious to see. And what she's doing is she's playing off of a tweet last week. There's a single mother in Ireland whose daughter is the only Irish girl in her 30-student classroom. Okay, think about that. A classroom in Ireland only has one Irish girl in it. All the rest are newcomers. And the violence has been incredible. The bullying toward her daughter is incredible. And she got on X and started, "Where's the men? Where are the men?" And then we had some violence by newcomers against natives in both Ireland and the United Kingdom, which got the hashtag "Where are the men" going, because it's the women that are standing up to these newcomers. They're not having it. And indeed, where are the men? But this is just a callous attempt to hitchhike onto that hashtag and that movement and try to virtue signal and flip the script, and New Yorkers aren't having it.
I love it. I love it. That was a juicy one this morning. So it's rare to go into the doom scroll and find something that makes you smile. But hey, these are the kind of things
doom
we
scroll,
find.
Scroll. I love it. I love it.
Dude, yes, indeed.
I'm so stealing that doom scroll.
Wake up. Yeah, you know how it is. Wake up with coffee and doom scroll. I mean, what could be better?
I'll have a Danish and doom scroll, please.
Yes. All right. Well, we got some more information about the cargo ship that caused Baltimore's bridge collapse. Apparently, the Singaporean flag cargo ship, the Dolly, that caused the Francis Scott Key Bridge to collapse this week, was involved in another crash less than a decade ago. So Reuters got some video showing the Dolly scraping against a quay in Antwerp, Belgium, in 2016, when the vessel was only a year old. So pretty interesting. They also are digging up some stuff about the incident report on that one. They say that the ship's master and pilot were to blame. And they also are pointing out, as we started to see reports earlier this week, that an inspection of the Dolly last June at a port in Chile identified a problem with the ship's propulsion and auxiliary machinery. But that a standard examination was conducted by the U.S. Coast Guard in New York in September and didn't identify any deficiencies. So that's kind of the latest we've heard on the status of the ship.
Well, you see, it had to balance it out, right? Because last year it hit the quay on the port side, and this year it hit the bridge on the bow side. We actually do have some information from Michael E. Buckley III, who was chief engineer for Maersk Line Limited, And he said, as a chief engineer for 20 years with Maersk Line on board a container ship and watching the video, I believe only certain events could have taken place. A ship that size has four generators. Three of them should be running and online to support the engine room machinery, deck machinery, house load, including both a very large bow thruster and stern thruster motor used during maneuvering in and out of port. And this is why most big ships now, most ports don't use tugs, because these big ships have bow thrusters and stern thrusters. In order to lose all three generators in ship's power would have caused two things. Only two things would have caused a ship to lose all three generators and ship's power: a drop of fuel pressure or the machinery electrical computer system failed, both causing the generator main power breakers to open, losing all power as seen on the video. Once a ship's power is lost, which is indicated by the lights going out the first time, the ship's emergency generator comes on and is designed to restart a generator engine and resupply power to the entire ship, which is when the lights came on briefly. Shortly after the lights come on, the captain realized he was on a collision course for the bridge. He put the ship in full astern, causing all fuel pressure, full fuel pressure to the main engine, which is indicated by the black smoke out of the stack. The loss of power the second time, which is when the lights went out again, was caused by a power surge to the one generator that was still working, that was supplying all machinery systems, including the bow thruster, which the captain, at a last attempt, requested max power to the bow thruster, tripping the power back off. When a ship loses power, it loses all steering until the emergency generator starts and supplies power to the steering hydraulic pumps. Once the power was lost the second time, the vessel course could not be changed, traveling at 9 knots, and it collided with the bridge. I don't doubt that that's probably what happened. The key element, though, Brian, is what caused the computer system to go down. That's why we think this is a cyber attack.
Yeah, exactly. The why. Why did this happen? What caused it? That's right. We're still in the W4 segment here, and we're still learning more. And you want to learn some more about TNT? Well, did you know there are many ways you can watch or listen to TNT? Why not stream us direct from our website on your desktop, tablet, or mobile device, or download our fantastic app from the App Store? We're even live on X, YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey. We got you covered on today's News Talk TNT.
Bringing you a world view.
I like to hear what's going on around the world.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
It's always great to have our European TNT political editor, Basil Valentine, on. Basil, welcome back to State of the Nation.
Hello, Timothy. Great to see you, and Brian, and hello to our viewers and listeners all around the world.
So we finally have something other than a common language which separates us, uniting both the United Kingdom and the United States this week, and that is the Sean P. Diddy, I call him P. Diddler, Combs and Prince Harry connection. Is this relationship between Diddy and Harry, the past that they've had together, is this going to permanently relegate Harry to Prince Andrew's status?
No, I don't think so. It's nothing like as damaging to Harry as the Andrew Farrago, shall we say, which of course involved somebody who was underage at the time and is linked to Jeffrey Epstein, whose name is so toxic it's positively radioactive. I mean, Andrew has been forced out of the royal family almost entirely and is now absent from public life. He briefly appeared around the time of his mother's death, but has now disappeared again. And the word is that neither Charles nor William ever want to see him taking a prominent place in the royal family anymore. I mean, it's too easy for people to sling insults at him. That's if they don't throw eggs or cabbages or something as he walks past, that dreadful N-word. I don't know if you know the one I mean, is inclined to follow him around. No, the Harry connection to Diddy is that they appear to have been at the same parties, and that Diddy kind of traded on Harry's name to attract women and celebrities. You know how the A-listers work, I'm sure. You know, one brings two, as they say, and even if you've got Prince Harry at your party, then all the girls want to be there. It's as simple as that. They first came across each other when Harry booked Puff Daddy, along with Duran, Elton John, and various others, for the concert for Diana, the 10th anniversary of Diana's death back in 2007 was marked by a concert at Wembley Stadium, at which P. Diddy performed. And Harry references that in his book, Spare. But he only mentions P. Diddy by name in passing. He doesn't say anything about him other than that they booked him for the show. So this is a more, this, you know, the lawsuit now, the 73-page lawsuit filed by record producer Rodney Jones accuses him of being a serial sex abuser, of sexually assaulting him, and claims he threw parties attended by sex workers and, here's the tricky bit though, Timothy, underage girls. He alleges that Coombs coerced him to solicit prostitutes and pressured him to have sex with them. The 54-year-old media mogul has denied the claims, which he describes as pure fiction.
Wow. Basil, there are so many rabbit holes that I have been down on X.com and various less stately internet sites over the last couple days. And it's like parallels are being drawn everywhere. And clearly there's something going on here. And there is a there, as one of my friends would say quite often. But do you think that we're seeing a whole lot of guilt by association just because it's getting a lot of social media hits? Or do you think it's really as deep a web as it appears to be at first glance here?
Well, the accusation that there were underage girls at the parties is never one that goes down very well with the wider public. And other names, names of other extremely high profile hip hop artists have also been mentioned in connection with this case. I don't want to name any names, but I think we know who we're talking about. People with their own islands as well, I believe. So you're right, the internet is absolutely swirling with rumours about where this leads, because it sort of, you know, it connects to wider, you know, ever unfounded, I should add, accusations that there is a sort of an abuse ring, shall we say, of underage girls amongst the elite, and that occasionally, as was the case with Epstein, and now with P. Diddy, somebody breaks cover and a lawsuit is, you know, filed, which pinpoints one or two aspects of this. But the unspoken underneath it, of course, is that it's widespread and that blackmail is used to control people. I don't know about that, Hesha. I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
It is widespread, and they're likening Diddy to the Jeffrey Epstein of the music industry. There are reports that his house was wired, every room in his house was wired for both audio and video. And it's not just young girls, young boys as well. Diddy himself has said that his sexuality was fluid, meaning, I guess, that he was up for anything. And it's troubling because no one wishes Prince Harry ill. He seems to be on a downward self-destructive spiral ever since he married that unfortunate American. And there's talk already, even before this connection to Diddy came out, of possible deportation. And now there's talk of potentially criminal charges, not just for Harry, but maybe for other people involved, if indeed there are videos at Diddy's house.
Well, if there are videos, that's another matter, of course. You know, that's what's been missing from the Epstein case, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. Yeah. What happened to all his videos? His house was wired every room as well.
Yeah. No cases brought there for
I wonder why.
Victims.
Why is there a pattern there, gentlemen? Do you know what I mean? Is it purely for gratification purposes? Because Diddy is a voyeur or something, likes watching other people at it? Or is it because he wants to use that material as leverage for some reason, as was always thought to be the case about Epstein?
Why couldn't it be both?
Yeah. It could be one of those situations where, you know, there are many things to benefit by many people. I also find it curious, Basil, that just, you know, a matter of a couple months, 2 or 3 months before this all went down, that there was an arrest made in the murder of Tupac Shakur. I find that to be a little bit more than coincidental. It feels like there's a big shakeup happening in the hip hop community, and that maybe multiple people were about to come out with some of these stories. Even 50 Cent has a documentary film coming out that appears to be about exactly this topic.
Yes, the word on the street, as it were, is that 2024 is going to see the unveiling, shall we say, the exposing of an awful lot of malfeasance amongst the rich and the famous, and that this is only really the tip of the iceberg, the P. Diddy business. You know, it remains to be seen, really. But, you know, as you know, gentlemen, this whole story has been bubbling under for 10, 15, 20 years, if not more, you know.
Absolutely. And Basil, we can't thank you enough for coming on. As a true Brit, you always bring the tea and great perspective along with it. Thanks so much. Well,
okay, I wish I had chance to talk about Royal Maundy, a tradition dating back to at least the 13th century, which took place today, where the Queen distributes Maundy money to a select group of Christian worshippers to thank them for their work within the church. Now, that's what the royals should be focusing on.
Absolutely, and happy Maundy Thursday to you, Basil.
Thank you, Timothy.
You're listening to State of the Nation on today's News Talk, TNT.
TNT's Jason Olborn.
What that sneaky World Health Organization, that private organization linked to the United Nations, is planning to do to take away yours and my medical sovereignty. Or pretending that they're not going to, of course, because it just so happens that they have got the ability to look into a crystal ball, see around corners, and tell us that there is yet another virus or disease or sickness coming for us, and the only way that we survive it is to do exactly what Tedros tells us to do, even though the man's not even a doctor. Can't even tell his own Ethiopian country on three separate occasions, goodness me, that they have had a cholera outbreak. Cholera characterized by acute watery diarrhea that, if not diagnosed correctly, can result in death. Well, on three occasions, Tedros's answer was, we didn't have good enough testing or testing available, so we didn't really know that it was cholera. That's the guy who's leading the world.
Weekends with Jason Olborn on today's News Talk, TNT.
I'm CAL FIRE Battalion Chief Isaac Sanchez, and normally we like to provide you with tips on how to keep yourselves and your family safe during wildfires. But given the historic impacts that the weather has had on our state this year, we would like to provide you with tips on how to keep yourself safe during extreme weather. If you reside in an area susceptible to flooding, please take the necessary steps to prepare to evacuate if advised. Make sure you've identified at least two exit routes out of your neighborhood, as one of them may be blocked or flooded. As the weather develops, remember to check in on vulnerable neighbors and family members. They may need additional time to prepare for evacuation. And just like during a wildfire, if you feel unsafe, please evacuate. You don't have to wait for the order to come. Keep an emergency go bag ready in case you need to evacuate. And always remember to plan for the safety of your pets as well. If you must leave, never drive around roadblocks. It can take as little as 12 inches of water to sweep your vehicle away. And always remember the mantra, turn around, don't drown. Be aware of first responders working in highly impacted areas, especially on the roads. For additional safety tips and updates on CAL FIRE activities, follow us on social media or visit fire.ca.gov.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Our next guest is a longtime colleague of mine, and we've had many, many on-air discussions about conspiracy theories, doomsayers, events billed as apocalyptic, SHTF, WROL situations. If you're in that community, you know what those mean. Biblical events, false flag ops, psychological operations. And many times these potential big events end up being what we liked to call conspiracy candy topics. Conspiracy candy is a term born of these discussions, and it refers to the propaganda and psyops phenomena where false or overblown information is fostered on internet rumor mills of a coming event, a black swan event, if you will, in some cases, that will lead to anything from an extended power outage to the full collapse of society. Yet when these events do not come to pass, it tends to further solidify the trope that conspiracy theorists are to be discounted as a whole. And the system decides what conspiracies are forever enshrined in history as fact, and what facts should be cast in the conspiracy bucket and discounted by citizens. So right now, some are saying the coming solar eclipse on April 8th may be a biblical event, a significant cyclic event in society's timeline, or a harbinger of SHTF to come. And many are just flocking to the path of the eclipse to see it with their own eyes out of pure curiosity. Here to help us break this down is Jay Dyer of jaysanalysis.com and the Jay Dyer YouTube channel. You can find Jay guest hosting over at InfoWars on various Fridays throughout the months. Jay, what's going on? Welcome to the State of the Nation on today's News Talk. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Hester. Thanks for having me back. Always love coming on. We have pretty deep conversations and we hit it within about 20 minutes. So that's, you can't beat that. That's perfect.
Yeah. We aim to please and to please fast. So what do you think, man? What do you think about all this eclipse talk?
Well, I'd like to put it in context with a lot of the background of these types of so-called events that you and I have covered for many years. And even going back before we covered this stuff, you know, think back to Y2K. Y2K was going to be an apocalyptic event. I remember I was even scared. I was about 18, 19 at the time. I went and bought like some sandwiches and a knapsack. And I thought, you know, just in case everything collapses, I want to have a way to like sleep in my car or something. Of course, it was absolutely nothing. But a lot of people were caught up in the hype. You know, we've got things like 2012. I remember 2012 was the biggest thing in the Mayan calendar. And, you know, Terrence McKenna had predicted there's going to be an event in 2012. And nothing happened in 2012. It was a lot of hype, a lot of nothing. We remember Jade Helm. You and I were covering and looking at and investigating Jade Helm really closely throughout that time period when it was a big deal. Nothing came of that. Now, that doesn't mean that these events aren't relevant or aren't studied for public reaction. I think you and I commented at the time that Jade Helm seemed to be a kind of a way to, at least among many things, perhaps study public reactions in these types of big so-called events. We had Ebola. I would argue the whole COOF crisis was largely a made up manufactured crisis. It wasn't real. The real crisis was the government locking everybody down and all this nonsense. So, you know, this is a common refrain. It also reminds me of like the way people like Hal Lindsey or Harold Camping, these sort of goofy prophecy end times preachers, always kind of update their predictions about when the rapture's coming and it doesn't materialize. And then they just sort of revise the existing thing. So this is something that we've seen so many times. And it's tricky because there are real events and there will be events. There probably will be some, you know, future Black Swan event at some time. But, you know, when the government comes out with all the hype, I'm the first to think that, okay, they want me to be scared.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you're entirely correct that what they're doing is softly probing to see what the reaction is going to be, right? Are our programs effective? Is the propaganda machine effective? Do we need to tweak it? We saw that email come out of the United Kingdom. Guys, slow down on the corona fear. People are getting too afraid. They're getting paralyzed. They're not doing what we want them to do. They're doing nothing. So I think that's a huge part of it. There's another part, and it's like the movie Conspiracy Theory with Mel Gibson, right? He believed every conspiracy that was out there. And then finally, he found the one that was real. And that's exactly the thing. They're going to hide the real things that they're doing amidst all this conspiracy candy, as you beautifully call it. And again, it's to paralyze people with fear, to get them not trusting the media, not trusting each other. And how are you going to discern what's real and what's not? It's almost impossible for the average person to do.
Yeah, some other events that come to mind too. I mean, we've heard of recent note, all this alien nonsense. We've been told about alien disclosure. We've seen these grainy footage of who knows what it even is. It could be anything. And so this is another, I think, layer to the threat continuum, the fear, the hype. Think about the the fear and the panic that they instilled in the public through the war on terror and the Homeland Security terror list. Remember this? We're at a heightened level four state of like orange level. Remember they came up with the colored levels. This was the same type of thing to constantly keep the public in a state of perpetual fear and agitation. And so whenever there's the latest version of whatever this the threat is, my first thought is, okay, why do they want me to be afraid? Because usually real events, when we see something like, you know, say the Moscow event, I mean, there was a little bit of pre-signifying with Victoria Nuland or with, you know, the State Department saying, watch out, or the embassy, U.S. embassy saying, watch out, there might be an event. But they don't like hype it up to the levels that we're seeing now. You know, oh, everyone, we're preparing for, you know, martial law and the collapse of the country. It's like, I remember a full eclipse back when we were first doing Boiler Room. It was around 2013 or 14. We had a full eclipse and this it was dusk for maybe 5 minutes. I mean, it was like no big deal. So I just don't understand why this is supposed to be any kind of real threat.
Yeah. We had a lot of fun with John Hagee out there when he would talk about the Blood Moon events. And, you know, it's just like, okay. Yeah. And we've had like 8 Blood Moons since the first time he told us to, you know, kiss our butts goodbye or, you know, something big was going to happen. And I mean, if ever there was a year that one of these sort of, you know, highly psyoped or predictively programmed events was going to happen, I'd put this year at, you know, a 7 or 8 on the meter. Mm-hmm. Like I could definitely see something happen after everything that's gone on in the last few years. But at the same time, the fact that, you know, what we're pointing out here is they want us to feel that way. They want us engaged in the strategy of tension so much so that they'll go after every single vector of culture, society, military, political, all of it. Everything is just like meant to turn us against each other right now and to distrust the entire establishment systems. And I think that is one of the underlying things right now. Eroding public trust in institutions seems to be a really big name of the game right now. And Jay, hold that thought. We'll take your comment on that right after a brief headline with today's news talk at TNT.
Here's what's making news.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. French President Emmanuel Macron has proposed assistance to Brazil for the development of a nuclear-powered submarine, marking a significant step during his visit to the country. Stella Assange, the wife and attorney of WikiLeaks publisher Julian Assange, criticized the British legal system for being hijacked by the U.S. for political purposes in her husband's extradition case. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, funded by the U.S. government, published an article defending Mohamed Sobir Faizov.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365, we never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad, listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk, this is TNT Radio.
Jay, what do you think about that? Just sort of that general, I mean, we can even look into films of the past few years and we can see this overarching trend of eroding the public's confidence in pretty much all institutions and tradition. I mean, look at, you know, Star Wars, for example. We could go on, but do you think there's an aspect of that at play right now? Even some of the stuff with the royals kind of makes me think that it's like bad PR on purpose.
Could be, yeah. Maybe the idea is that, we saw, for example, the document, the Rockefeller lockstep document in one of the scenarios where it talks about it's the lockstep scenario, which talks about what would happen after the COVID events when it fails. It actually says that the public would be incensed at the existing institutional structure and they would cry out for a better system. So there's always the possibility that you're spot on there, that they're wanting to intentionally implode the existing structures and institutions from within, not because they want to fix it, but so that people will cry out. And in that document, it actually says we'll have a ready-made international globalist institution ready to save the day. So they cause the problems and then offer the solution, problem reaction solution. That may be the angle here for sure. But I would add too that, you know, any of these kind of end times things, people don't know that government institutions, educational institutions, high level social engineers, they've studied apocalyptic end times thinking. And they've studied this, the way that it affects people. They've studied religious groups and sects and cults. Think back to Heaven's Gate. That was an end times crazy, you know, space cult. A lot of end times cults have had have been the subject of these kinds of studies. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they don't try to roll out some kind of psyop. And it may be related to the eclipse. I'm just saying that I don't think that has anything to do with the eclipse, right? It would have to do with the scenarios that they might want, if they did do something that day or nearby, to postpone the election or to, you know, do something like this. And those scenarios are the ones that we do hear about as real possibilities: economic collapse, race riots, put COVID part two. You know, these are all real possibilities.
You're absolutely correct. And the three-letter agencies spend an inordinate amount of money on psychologists and psychological studies. They have for decades, including, you know, psychotropic drugs, LSD, spraying LSD in the New York City subways, and all the things that have gone on in the last 60, 70 years. I'm going to drop a conspiracy on the two of you right now, though, that isn't a theory. It's real. And it's the dumbing down of American students. We've taken the focus off of reading comprehension. Students no longer know how to diagram a sentence. They don't know the parts of speech. They don't know proper grammar. They think lose is spelled with two O's, and that me and her went to the movies is a perfectly acceptable sentence. And because they're not reading, they don't realize that this idea of keeping the populace in a constant state of agitation is straight from 1984. In fact, everything that's been going on seems as though these people read Brave New World, 1984, and other Fahrenheit 451 and other fictional novels, and they took them as instruction manuals. And if they'd read a little further, they'd see that Mark Twain used an eclipse in King Arthur's Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's court. That's how he escaped execution, was he said, "I'm going to blot out the sun," because he knew an eclipse was coming. And if people had read that story, they'd realize that this doom and gloom and hysteria over eclipses is at least 170 years old.
Yeah, I think Mel Gibson was trying to portray that too in Apocalypto, where you have the Aztec high priest, you know, conning the population by thinking that they have to engage in human sacrifice to bring the sun back from its resurrected state of dying, and, you know, when it gets blotted out by the eclipse. So they knew the eclipse was coming. They were duping everybody. And I thought that was a great, you know, presentation of the mm-hmm. same principle of religious con artistry at that high level. So yeah, I think we definitely see this with a lot of these, especially these sort of evangelical Zionist groups who tie everything to, like Hester said, blood moons and the latest date for the rapture, which is a common thing that they do. So I wouldn't be surprised if that might be one angle of what they're trying to do with this. But my guess would be nothing's going to happen.
There's a lot of things to distract from right now too.
Exactly.
Lot of things going on, so it's kind of one of those Swiss Army knives of psychological operations, because it maintains that tension of strategy. It you know, makes people behave weird, and it distracts from a lot of other things that are going on right now. Like, I don't know, like we got Israel, Ukraine, we've got Biden and acceptance of him, his whole family, and his administration is literally going down the toilets to levels we've never seen in this country before. Weird stuff going on in Moscow. There's a lot of discussions going on right now that I could see this distracting from in a way that benefits them.
Yeah, it reminds me of, again, of Jade Helm. It reminds me of 2012. It reminds me of anytime there's potentially mass awakenings to things. Think about the 9/11 truth movement, right? A lot of people were waking up to the 9/11 truth. And then what happened was, according to Cass Sunstein, you flood the real truth movements with what he calls cognitive infiltration, which is fake conspiracy theories. So, you know, Cass Sunstein ended up being one of Obama's czars. He went on, I think, to the NSA. So here's this high-level social engineer guy out of Harvard Law School or whatever, and he's writing these papers about how to disrupt real information with disinformation to distract, exactly what Hesser's saying.
Yeah, yeah. And we feel very distracted as a nation right now. I would say, you know, I'm speaking for all of you out here. It's very distracting, no matter how discerning you are, when it's just like, you know, you're trying to figure out what happened 4 years ago. You know, can we chase this to its logical end, or what's going on in Ukraine? Can we just focus on this so that we can have some truth and understanding? But it's just like, no, here's cocaine in the White House. Here's a laptop. We're going to call it Russian disinformation. Here's 97 charges against the former president. It's just like over and over and over again. Here's some bubonic plague. You know, maybe we could play on that and be scared about bubonic plague or something. It's just like never ending. Jay, we got about a minute left. I want to make sure you get your website out there, your YouTube, all the places people can find you, and any final thoughts you might have on this this insane topic.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there, that there's real issues going on. And my opinion is that this is probably just a major distraction. If there is something that relates to predictive programming and we do see a collapse, well, you know, I think we covered Leave the World Behind, the Obama movie, which actually dealt with something like, so maybe they're trying to just have us scared. And that was the point of that apocalyptic movie. But you can find my work at jaysanalysis.com. My books are there. You can find me on YouTube under Jay Dyer, as well as all the other social media outlets, including Rockfin.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. And also, let's not forget one of the in most largest, you know, high profile scenes in that movie was a giant shipping container ship crashing into a port of sort. Not a bridge, but hauntingly familiar. All right, Jay, thanks so much for joining us. We'll look forward to having you back on again real soon. This is State of the Nation on today's News Talk TNT.
When I had my heart event, close to 4 years ago, I was at the gym, thought I deserve a coffee, and thought I'll top up with fuel, ordered a coffee. But while I was pumping fuel, I started to get chest pains. But then it got worse and worse and worse. So then I was leaning on the counter thinking, yeah, something's not quite right. So then I went to wait for the coffee, and that's when it really, really hit. And Joy just, you know, mouthed, do you need an ambulance? And I remember nodding. I wasn't even thinking about a heart attack. I just thought, something is seriously wrong with me here. So when the cardiologist came to see me, she informed me that I'd had what they call a widowmaker heart attack. Bit of a shock when someone says, you know, you nearly died. Everybody should be aware of all the symptoms of a heart attack that women can have that aren't typical of the shoulder pain, the right arm pain. I go to the gym, I do yoga, Pilates, I swim, I go on bike rides, and yet I still had a heart attack. You just don't know, it could be you.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together.
Anticipate potential delays for the morning commute. In other news, a recent government report on prescription drug pricing points to corporate mouth.
Freedom of the press is about your right to know.
What are you talking about, man? Look at his stats. Spark sheer
athleticism. It's about your right to be informed. Your right to access all types of information keeps us free as a nation.
No.
Today, there are real threats to press freedom.
Reaching residential areas by...
And your right to know about the world around us.
Look.
Some threats are obvious, some are easy to miss, but they all put our way of life at risk. We must defend against all of these threats, no matter what kind of news is important to you.
Justified putting American troops in harm's way?
That's a great question.
We must protect our right to know before it's too late. Understand the threats. ProtectPressFreedom.org.
Right now, the forgotten poor are waiting for healing and care, for life-saving medical care, for a chance to live with dignity and hope. They are waiting for Mercy Ships and you. Mercy Ships is the largest floating civilian hospital in the world, with volunteer medical staff and crew who donate their time to save lives. And now, as our newest state-of-the-art hospital ship sets sail, Mercy Ships will double our ability to reach children and adults who need us now.
Without the work of Mercy Ships, these patients don't have another option.
Mercy Ships is answering the call to serve suffering people who have nowhere else to turn. Together, we are going to some of the world's most desperate places and bringing a wave of hope and healing to those who need it most.
Thank you!
Thank you!
To learn more about this wave of hope, go to mercyships.org today.
The conversation continues with State of the Nation's Brian McLean and Timothy Shea on today's News Talk TNT.
All right, we're very excited to have our next guest rejoining State of the Nation. His name is Jimmy Watson. He's got an amazing military career in special operations, encompassing leading teams in high-threat environments on multiple war fronts. He began his active duty service as a United States Marine, assisting in the recovery of victims at the USS Cole and fighting the war on terrorism. He's got a pretty amazing bio. He's a friend of the show. Jimmy Watson, welcome back to State of the Nation. Now, you have experience as a Navy diver, right? You may not be an expert on bridges per se, but you've done some diving around bridges, around some of these pylons that we're told is the key to this collapse. What is your opinion on what you've seen so far about what happened in Baltimore?
Well, thank you for having me on the show. You know, I'll say this, you know, when I first saw the video, I was like, man, that's just crazy, you know, and then I started looking at it over and over and I saw the bridge just, you know, I've never seen something like just collapse like that. Well, 9/11, where the bridge just collapsed like a toothpicks, right? And in the SEAL teams, we dive pylons, stanchions, gas oil platforms all the time. And so, like you said, I'm not an expert on bridges, okay? But, and this is pure speculation, but, you know, having dove under bridges for most of my adult career around these large stanchions and pylons, it takes a very long time. The pictures don't do it justice to swim around one of these things. And it's hundreds of tons of poured concrete. And so, yes, you know, obviously, the ship smacked the bridge head on. Why? I don't know if we know that yet. But how did the bridge just collapse altogether at once? That's what I would like to know, right?
Well, yeah. The force was overwhelming because force equals mass times volume or velocity rather. And it was only moving at 9 knots, but the mass was immense. And then pressure is inversely proportional to the square area over which that force acts. So if you've got all that mass coming and it's concentrated in the bow, and the bow is what hit the stanchion, as sturdy as that stanchion was, because all the support, you know, the two stanchions, all the bridge supports are held up by those two stanchions. And if you knock one of them down, gravity's just going to pull everything. It's like a game of Jenga.
It did look like a game of Jenga. It collapsed crazy. And, you know, like I said, I'm not the bridge expert. I'm no engineer. I have dove those a lot, and those pylons are massive. But doesn't mean, like you said just now, that it couldn't just absolutely collapse in one take, you know?
Yeah, I found it a little, you know, after my experience with 9/11, I'm very hesitant to jump into accepting one thing or another, because, you know, when 9/11 happened, I was totally in. It was like, okay, I'm not going to engage in any conspiracies here. I read Popular Mechanics, read the NIST report, talked to the people that I worked with, you know, many of whom were naval aviators and SWOs and stuff like this. And nobody had any in my circle had any feelings like, oh, this can't happen this way. But then over the years, you know, when I kind of walked away from that, you know, mindset on it, it was like, wait a minute, there are too many things I can't explain here, and too many things that I used to lean on to support my worldview on that no longer makes sense after further examination. So this bridge, to me, it looks like it fell too fast, and that's just my gut reaction.
It looked like it fell way too fast. And like you said, look, you know, shame on me once, you know, all that stuff. Like I've learned to just like kind of take it all in. And I'm not the expert, but look at Russia, for instance. You got four shooters claimed to be ISIS, right? I thought, well, man, this is an ISIS terror attack. My wife is from Moscow, Russia. She said that those men were caught so far away from where the shooting actually took place, it was impossible to get that distance in that amount of time. And so now it's like, okay, was it Putin? And he's been known to sabotage his own resources before, or is it just like this bridge? What is it? You know, I don't know if we'll know for a while.
Well, here's what I'd like to know. I'd like to talk to a structural engineer, because this is where I think that the conspiracy aspect comes in. We were talking before about a mechanical engineer or a mechanical a crew on container ships described the generator layout. There's four generators, three were on, et cetera, and described the two different power outages and what was going on, why the black smoke came out. He laid out the whole thing, and it sounds plausible that that's how it happened, but the why is interesting. You know, why did the computer system glitch? Was it a cyber attack? That's one thing that needs to be investigated. And another thing that needs to be investigated is, I would like to know, and again, with regard to the speed of the falling of the bridge, we don't know what the frame rate was on the video that we saw. I would like to know where on the pylon you need to hit. What's the margin of error for knocking out the pylon so that the bridge does collapse immediately? What are we talking about here? If you're off by a foot, does it not happen? If you're off by 10 feet, I want to know what the window is. And then see, you know, that would calculate the odds. What are the odds that a ship would hit that exact window after having a power outage? The whole thing just seems suspect to me, especially since the Biden administration came out like a kid with chocolate smeared all over his face saying, "Honest, mommy, I didn't have any cake." You know, oh, it's not terrorism.
Exactly. And I look at it, a carpenter only uses a hammer, SEALs only use a lot of demolition and explosives, you know, and we have been known to use too much explosives for our targets before. That's a fact. And so I look at it from this perspective, you know, how much explosives that it would take to do what I saw there is catastrophic, right? It's a lot. And I've had a lot of people come to me on social media saying, "Did you see the small explosions under that?" I didn't necessarily see that yet, but there's a lot of speculation to see what's going on here and why.
I saw that too. I was noticing some videos on X this morning when I was doing some research, and there's some people, some users that are slowing the video down, and you know, there is an apparent little like puff of smoke on some of the upper rafters. That kind of goes in a 1-2-3 sort of fashion. It is a head scratcher, but I mean, it's really difficult. Like, for all we know, somebody ran that through one of the GPT programs. I mean, it's really difficult. And that's a whole nother layer to this right now, is we have very limited amounts of videos of this thing happening so far. And we're all hesitant to just believe our eyes now.
Well, here's some data that we can rely on. Seismographic data. What are the seismographs showing? Because a collision like that is going to generate a seismic signal. So what did the government sensors reveal? What did they record at 1:30 a.m. the other morning?
It just looks shady. I mean, it just absolutely looks shady. And I've got a lot of kickback on social media saying, "Look, man, it's a massive, you know, 100,000 tons. Forgive me if I'm wrong there, whatever the tonnage of that cargo ship, and it smashes it." Okay, I get it. You know, it's going down. It obviously just smashes that concrete, but the whole thing going down in a blink of an eye. I think you made a great point, though. You know, we don't know the frames per second on there. We don't have that information. And then you got AI going on there, but it's highly suspicious, if you ask me personally. And
I think it was absolutely, at least at the very least, I think it was a cyber attack. And who would have conducted such a cyber attack? Who would have the capability? There are very few entities, and we know who the most likely suspect is.
Yeah, and who was there talking about it within the next day? NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy. And, you know, sorry, NTSB, but after the 9/11 report, you just concern me when you show up in places. I would like to rather see local people and corporate people who were actually involved in that bridge, investigators, structural engineers. I mean, NTSB does not make many Americans feel good as like the people that are going to issue the report.
Well, especially Jennifer Homedy. How did she not lose her job after East Palestine?
Yeah.
Guys, I think the country is pissed off. It's already divided as it is. I went to two freaking wars. One we should have never been through. There was no nuclear weapons, obviously. War is hell. 9/11, you know, right? Okay, let's say that was true, right? We went there for way too long. The pullout was devastating to our veterans at home. It's psychologically damaging to come back home from that, you know? And I love our country. I'm just so disappointed in what's going on. And that in itself, that corruption in itself, you see here, makes us doubt the bridge now.
Yeah, exactly. We were just talking about that with Jay Dyer, our previous guest. We're just noticing like the public relations factors alone and the policies alone are seem to be meant to destroy any respect or any hope we had in tradition, in a constitutional republic, in the rule of law, in a modicum of transparency from politicians, bankers, and Hollywood. Like, no one thinks we have any of that anymore. People don't even trust the schools or the medical system.
Yeah, you know what I find ironic is us sending hundreds of billions of dollars to in the name of supporting Israel and Ukraine borders, their borders, while our border collapses in front of our face in millions of who knows who's on the list, the watch list there. Those same names, I know it's just an index, but a lot of the same names are coming up and we're being invaded. Simple as that.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. You know, one of our regular guests, Eric Swanson, sent me a video today of another Zodiac boat allegedly pulling up in San Diego, somewhere in the La Jolla area. A whole team of people wearing all black rush off the boat, disappear into the street. And I asked him, I said, what is this? Where's our Navy? Where's our Coast Guard? Where's the police? Where are anyone that should be looking at this? Or where, for heaven's sake, where's our own military to say, oh, that was just us, guys. That was an op. We were just running. No, we see Zodiacs pulling up and what look like ninjas coming off of them and just disappearing into the streets.
Yeah, I have no doubt that they're in San Diego. I think, you know, there's an $800 million industry in San Diego County alone for human trafficking. They grab these girls, they transfer them across state lines. Why isn't anyone talking about that? You know, it's happening to rich, poor. It's not just the destitute prostitute. No, it's young girls. They come up missing, a druggie, a homeless man gets some crack to, and he gives it to, and he tells the cartel about it. They grab her. And then get her across state lines, man. And it's happening all the time, but there's nothing about this stuff going on. And a lot of it's coming from overseas.
Jimmy, 80,000 children go missing from the CPS system nationwide every single year. 80,000 kids. What's happening to them?
Oh my gosh, man. It's tragedy. And I know there's limited information coming out about this. There's some documentaries here and there, but there's what's the real action, the direct action behind this? We need a man in office who's willing to actually declare war on the cartel, declare war on human trafficking, literally declare war on it. You know, we have SEAL teams positioned in Coronado. And I don't know how much work they're doing right now because I've been out for a little bit. But I'll tell you what, they would love to go do some work in Mexico against these cartels. They would, you know, let the sled dogs go out. There's just been a lot of training lately. There's not a lot of been action because the war's dying down and stuff. We need to circle the wagons in America and allow the SEALs, the special forces, the Green Berets, the Rangers and Marines do some work in America and clean up this act because it's getting pretty bad.
They could start in their own backyard. How exciting would that be? La Jolla Beach. Let's go, guys. We'll start right here in our backyard and we'll take it all the way south.
Yeah, MS-13, all of that garbage is coming from San Salvador, Nicaragua, and it's infiltrating up through Mexico. And this is just the cartel side, the drug side, the human trafficking. Not even talking about the military age men who leaves their family. Like, why are all these men coming over here? And who leaves their family? My mom brought up that point when I was like, that's a good point. Who are all these guys coming over? It's an invasion. And if people that think that we're crazy for talking like this, they'll see one day, you know, they'll see.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. And who knows, maybe this bridge event will be one of those you'll see events when the final set of information comes out, or if, you know, God forbid another one happens. Jimmy, you got about 1 minute left. Leave us with any final thoughts.
You know, I just think it's time for, I see a lot of dissension. I see a lot of divide. It's time for men and women, the real true patriots in our nation, to come together at such a time as this. Stop bickering about the little things. See the real picture here. See that there's puppet masters above us playing games. As long as we stay divided inside, we can't externally see the real threat.
All right. Oh, thank you so much, Jimmy. It's always a pleasure to have you. Jimmy, where's the best place for people to follow you on TikTok real quick or other social media?
At Mighty Warrior 2024 on TikTok, at Mighty Warrior 2023 on Instagram. Please go follow me. Check out what we got going on here.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy. We'll look forward to your next appearance. Thanks for everything you do. And we will be right back with more State of the Nation after these words from today's news talk, TNT.